So here we have this story last week where there is Jesus and he's been traveling around Galilee area. You know that he was in Jerusalem for a little bit, but that things were getting kind of, pressure was getting on to him. So he left there and went up to the Galilee to preach. And there he's feeding 5,000. There he's healing and healing. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. But you see, John came before him, John the Baptist. And John was talking about repentance and judgment and fire and the winnowing. And things are going to happen. You better repent. And Jesus comes out and he's this nice guy. He's not talking about repentance. He's healing the lame and he's raising the dead and he's making sure everyone has enough to eat. And he's saying nice kind words. He's merciful and he's tender. And John's like, what is this? Wasn't it supposed to get things going? The way I thought it was. So he has a little bit of doubt and he's in prison. So he sends his disciples there to go and talk to Jesus and say to Jesus these words that we still speak today. It's, are you the one that we've been waiting for? Or is there someone else? Is there someone else we should be looking to? And of course, Jesus doesn't answer the question, does he? He never does. He says, go tell John what you see. You see the prophecy being fulfilled. You see Isaiah 61 coming to life before your very eyes. You're seeing that there's freedom for the oppressed. The blind are seeing now. Don't you see what's happening, John? And John's the best of all. But the least of those here will be greater than him in heaven. Don't you see how great things are? Nobody understands this. And he goes on to saying, it's like when people, you say to me, you say, when we sung you a dirge, when we sung your funeral tune, you were supposed to be sad. And when we sang you a marriage song, you were supposed to dance, and you didn't do either. John came, and he was austere, and he was wearing camel hair and eating locusts and honey, and he didn't drink. And you said, he's got a demon. Then I come, and I'm drinking with my friends, and I'm eating healthily, and you say, he's a fraud. He needs to be put to death. So which is it? Is he the one or is he not? Do you want to see somebody who's austere and not having any fun? Or you want to see the guy who's drinking with you and eating with you? Which one do you want? They don't want either of them, do they? And that's a true thing, because I told you when I sit down at that wedding and the people say, older men, do they? Oh, you're sitting with us. We can't have any fun now. It's me at the table. Oh, we're going to have a good time. Be you. And he ends it by saying, wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Or in other versions, wisdom is proved right by her children. Because wisdom is a woman, right? We know that from Proverbs. Of course it's a woman. Men don't have wisdom. We do things and we go, oh, we learn the hard way. I nearly cut my finger off the other day changing the air filter because, you know, they kind of sometimes turn sideways in there because the thing's sucking on it, so you're trying to get it out, and they have this metal mesh comb. Have you got those kind? And so I grabbed it, Fran, and it wouldn't come out. So I figured I'd yank really hard. That'd be a good idea, right? This sharp thing, I figure it's like razors, and I'm just going to yank it out and show who's boss, and I yank it, and oh my goodness, did the blood come. And so I think it's infected, so I think I need to keep cleaning it. In the old days, you just have a dog lick it, right? And then the infection would be gone. Anybody got a dog? I don't have a dog. Wisdom. Women would have done a much more a methodical job, not just yanking on it. But what he's saying that he does these deeds. Don't you see what he's doing? He's feeding the 5,000. The dead are coming back to life. He's doing all these things. Don't you see what he's doing? They don't see that. They don't like the happy guy. They don't like the sad guy. They don't like the drunkard. They don't like the guy who's the life of the party. What do they want? What are you looking for, folks? Do you hear it? And then Jesus says this, you know, we sometimes think of Jesus and we say, he loves me and he loves me unconditionally, right? You ever hear that lie? Does he love you unconditionally? He loves you. But what's he want? You got to read the Bible and hear what he says. Look what he says here in Matthew 11, verse 20. And I don't know what happened with my computer, but it decided that when I go to the Bible website where I copy and paste, you know, instead of typing all in, it decided you don't get verse numbers anymore. I think you got to pay extra for that on the premium. I'm like, oh, really? So I'll just guess what number it is, right? I know it's 20. I didn't write the rest. So Matthew 11, verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. He said, woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, then they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and in ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on that day of judgment than for you. And for you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Sodom on that day of judgment than for you. Where are these cities? Chorazin and Bethsaida. Bethsaida is Peter's hometown. It's right near where they are. And Chorazin is not very far away. Bethsaida, Beth means house. It means house of the fishermen. That's where Peter and his brother Andrew come from. You see, they saw these miracles and it didn't change them. They didn't turn their hearts to Jesus. They didn't want to repent. The cities of Tyre, this is an insult. This is like the story of the Good Samaritan. You can kind of see the character of Jesus when he describes something. Because he says, if Tyre and Sidon, the cities up in Phoenicia, which worship Baal, which worship the other gods, and they were cruel people, if they would have heard the word of Jesus, they would have listened. But you who hear it, don't listen. Same story as the Good Samaritan, right? Who's the worst one of the lot? The Samaritan, the Levite, or the priest? Well, the Samaritan's the worst one, isn't he? He's one of those people. But he does the right thing, doesn't he? But the priest and the Levite do not. I love that about the Bible. The character of Jesus comes through, doesn't it? In the other stories, it's real. It's him. These were bad cities. Tyre was destroyed in 332 BC by Alexander the Great, and Sidon was destroyed by the Assyrians back in 67 BC. Wiped from the earth, no longer be there today. Capernaum, is that still there today? It's gone. It's been wiped level. And don't worry, Jerusalem, you too, you're going to be leveled if you don't repent, and they didn't. And we know why Sodom was destroyed, don't we? Immorality. But you ever hear this part of it? That's not all of it. What was Sodom's big crime? You want to hear it? Ezekiel chapter 16. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant. They were overfed and they were unconcerned. And they did not help the poor and the needy. They were haughty, and they did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. We all know the story, right? But do we know the story? They didn't help the poor and needy. That's what they were. They were overfed. I'm looking in the mirror right now. And unconcerned. We got a guy going to Philippines, going to talk to the people on the street. You want to help him? We are. We want to help that family of Candy's friend, DeBrooke. We should talk about that soon. What can we do? Are we concerned? Are we overfed? Do we have enough? I got enough. The rest of the story. Now Jesus says, I praise you, Father. He kind of breaks off. He says, you know, you didn't change. You heard the good news and it didn't reach your heart. And he turns and he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned. He's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious leaders who are supposed to know everything. But you revealed them to the little children. He's not talking about children, but people of young spiritual minds who don't understand all the rules. We need to hear something that we can take into our hearts that will change us. And he says, yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You see, I sat there for a long time, for 2 or 3 days, and I thought, I don't understand what this says. Anyone want to come out and help me? What's he saying here? You know how I figured it out? I read it again, and I prayed. And God put people in my way who write commentaries that help explain things. And I go to this one, I go to this one, and I go, oh, I get it. You know, it's pretty simple. Let's just condense. Let's make it easy on ourselves. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the resurrection. Nobody gets through to Father except through me. That's it. So, is that simpler now? That's how you do it, through me. To get to the Father, you know who he is? It's through me. That's the only way. He knows me and I know him, and we are the same. And so he says, come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see where Jesus starts this verse, this chapter? He starts with judgment. No one's listening. We're doing wrong. What is the burden? It's the Ten Commandments. Can you all follow them? Sometimes. Maybe not so tough. We go, I haven't killed anyone today. I got that one. I was nice to my parents, took care of them. I have one God and is God only, right? Don't like dating my wife, but I haven't done the adultery thing yet. Just kidding. I mean, never going to. Not according to Jesus, right? I already am an adulterer. I am a murderer. If you're mad at someone, if you're mad at your sister, you're a murderer, he says. So he gives us these laws. The reason he gives us the law, says Paul, is so we know what sin is. Because sin is the transgression of the law. When you break the law, that is sin. So you need to know what it is. And so he gives us these 10 simple commands and we can't keep them. And then what do the Pharisees do with the 10? It says, keep the Sabbath day holy, as you know. And what's that mean? So they make up 300 rules to go along with it. What's it mean you can't keep the day holy? It means you can't do any work. What is work? Work is sewing a button. Woe is putting salve on your eye. Work is walking more than 20 yards from your house on the Sabbath. Work is starting a fire. Worth is putting out a candle. That's work. You can't do that. And if you do that, you are sinning. That's just that. So, hey, I have all these rules. What kind of water can you drink? Can it be living water? Does it have to be flowing? Can it be from a cistern? Can it come off a gutter on your roof? There's certain types of water you can and can't drink. You got to follow all these rules. Can you do it? No one can do it. And then it gets worse because then Jesus comes, gets worse before it gets better, and says, live like I do. Can anyone do that? Is there any hope for you to live like Jesus? No. So what are we? So now we feel really low. And Jesus says, no, let me pick you up. You see, I'm the one who judges you. But I take the judgment. I took it upon my back when they whipped me. I took it upon the cross and I laid it out for you and I bled for you. I took the judgment. You see the good news? I got a lot more to say, and it's blah, blah, blah. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the law. It tells us what we should be doing, and we can't always follow it. And we try, and when we break your commands, we feel guilty, we feel ashamed. We feel like we can't be in your presence, which is the worst thing, that we can't come to your house of worship, that we have to stay away. But your Son says, come. Come to the table. Come to the house. Break bread. Drink the cup. Your sins are forgiven. If you repent, if you want to change, if you realize you've done wrong, there is hope. You can change. The ox carries a yoke. So we can pull equipment, so we can plow the field and make it fruitful behind him for grain to grow. And it's heavy. But the bull is strong. We are weak and we need a light yoke. We do have something to carry. We do have something to pull through the dirt to make something fruitful, to make our lives fruitful. We need His strength. We need His forgiveness. We need Him to take the judgment for us so we don't live with these things, that we can put them away, that we can be more like Him. To be not like Sodom, where they were overfed and under loving of the neighbor, where they only looked to themselves. We pray that we are freely giving what other people need to have. We come today to break the bread, to take the cup, to know that we are loved, that we are worth taking the judgment for, that He bought us with a price, that we are redeemed. And when we stare at our Father in heaven, we will see Him face to face. We will see Him as He truly is. And we pray that He will say, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." Amen.